Welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht, and today we are honored to welcome Mike Schmitz of Draft Express to the podcast. Mike, how you doing?
I'm good, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
So the draft is a little ways away, but for Oklahoma City, this is a kind of a funny feeling in that the next really important step as far as players go is going to be the draft. Usually we're the Thunder are going through the first round right now, and we're thinking of more conference finals than anything. But right now we're thinking NBA draft. We have the 14th pick. Unless something crazy happens, they end up with a top three pick. They're more than likely going to have the 14th pick. So let's start with Sam Decker. Sam Decker's a guy that he seems like a Thunder guy to me. He seems like he has a good work ethic and could potentially be a 3-and-D type guy. Tell me about Sam Decker's game and how it translates to the NBA.
Yeah, Sam had a really good summer, actually, from his sophomore to junior year. He put on some weight. He actually grew a couple of inches. I know, you know, a lot of people have mentioned it, but at that LeBron camp this summer, I was there, and he was cooking. I mean, he was playing with swagger, and he was able to show a lot of the things that he doesn't really show in Wisconsin system, just because they kind of rein, you know, all those guys in a little bit with the way they play. But yeah, he's kind of a 3-4 type of guy, you know, more of a wing, but I think he can play some 4 in smaller lineups because of his size. Really versatile guy, super smart, good feel, underrated athlete, you know, decent passer, doesn't make a ton of mistakes, really smart cutter, doesn't really need the ball to be effective type of guy. So he's really just more a utility man who can do a lot of things well. He's good at attacking in a straight line. He can guard a couple of positions. The thing with Sam is, you know, he's got to continue to prove that, you know, he can be kind of a knockdown shooter. He had a really good stretch in the NCAA tournament there, then kind of laid an egg going 0-for-6 against Duke. But I think just consistently showing that he can make the three ball, his mechanics aren't phenomenal. But to me, he's just kind of a utility guy, does a lot of things well. Like you said, a hard worker. He's going to fit in, and I think he's going to impress some people in terms of his athleticism and things that he can do that maybe he wasn't able to show at Wisconsin.
I've heard some people mention they thought that he may be able to slide to 2, and that I was very skeptical of that. What are your thoughts on that?
To the shooting guard?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't see that from him. Okay. I think that, you know, I think he can play the 3. He's not a great ball handler. He's good enough to kind of attack in a straight line. He's not really going to create a shot against 2s, and I think guarding some 2s might be an issue. But yeah, he's more of a 3 to me who can play some 4 in small lineups.
To me, he sounds like a guy that is on the Thunder roster already, and a guy that Sam Presti is talking about re-signing, and Kyle Singler. Do you see that comp at all?
I think he's a better athlete. And I think, you know, maybe not as great of a shooter. I don't know what Kyle, you know, shot this past year, but I don't think he's as Kyle to me is just more of a, not a knockdown shooter, but close to it, whereas Sam really still needs to prove himself in that regard.
Okay. I liked him in the tournament. I thought he was a lot of fun. But when you look at the Thunder depth chart, if they are going to keep Singler, and they've talked about bringing Josh Huestis in, who's with their D-League affiliate, it doesn't seem like there's a great spot for him on this Thunder squad, especially if Kevin Durant's healthy. I mean, he's taken all those 3-4 minutes. But I like Decker. I like him a lot, but I don't know where his fit on this Oklahoma City team is. What do you think about his fit in OKC?
Yeah. I think, you know, you're right. I mean, there's not a ton of room there, but to me, he's the kind of guy who's really going to fit anywhere he goes. You know, he's like a really good role player, or he's a good role player on a really good team is kind of how I've always thought of Sam. Mm-hmm. Not like a crazy upside type of guy, but he's a winner who plays really hard and does so many different things well. He really doesn't have a lot of holes in his game. So I think wherever he goes, he's going to, you know, get minutes and fit in. But I'm with you on the fact that it doesn't seem like there's a huge need or pole in the Thunder roster at that kind of 3-4 spot. Mm-hmm.
Moving to a guy who I think would fill a nice role with the Thunder, Jerian Grant of Notre Dame. He's a big point guard. He's a little bit older, too, than a lot of these guys, so he may be able to play more this year than some of these younger players. What are your thoughts on Jerian Grant?
Yeah, I love Jerian Grant. I'm a big fan of his. Is like you said, big point guard. You know, a lot of times I think people see these 6'5 guys and just assume that they're, you know, two guards trying to play point, but he's a legitimate point guard. He has a great feel for the game, sees the floor really well. He's quick, really good in you know, attacking off the bounce. He's kind of a streaky shooter, but he's a big shot maker. I mean, he made a ton of big shots for Notre Dame. He was really their whole engine. Good leader type, I've heard. You know, he's going to be, to me, like a dynamic, you know, off the bench, not just a backup, but can kind of play some combo as well, play in transition, you know, driving kick, get other guys involved, make big shots. So I'm with you. I think he's a good fit, and he's going to be able to contribute right away. So, you know, if he's around, I think he's definitely someone to consider there.
Is there a comp for him? I know that Draft Express has kind of moved away from doing comps because it's really just kind of it's a really difficult thing to do. But is there a comp for him?
You know, not anyone that has really stood out to me that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, there's not a ton of you know, I guess the NBA is trending more toward these 6'5", you know, point guard types. But yeah, there's no one that really comes to mind off the top of my head with him.
Do you think that he could do what Deion Waiters does, but better even this very next year?
I think, yeah, I mean, he's more of a playmaker with the ball to me, you know, like he's going to really distribute for other guys a lot. I think that's really maybe his best NBA skill. It's his passing ability, whereas, you know, Deion's more trying to get his, as, you know, I'm sure you all kind of know and have grown to learn. But yes. so I think that's kind of where they differ. But I think he's a instant impact type of guy. I mean, he's going to come in and be comfortable with the ball in his hand. He's going to find guys and make plays. So I think he's definitely a good fit.
Yeah, I like him a lot. What is his potential as a shooter? What do you know about his mechanics and his ability to hit the NBA three?
Yeah, he can make shots. You know, you've seen him a few times, I'm sure, just on highlights, like pulling up from 28 feet. I mean, he's a super, super confident guy. You know, he shot over 40% from three his junior year, not on a ton of attempts. But he's a streaky type of guy. His shot's a little stiff. He kind of shoots from like the left side of his face. So he's not a great shooter. He'll probably be, you know, low 30s type of guy to me. But he's going to make timely shots. He's not afraid to take them. And I think he's a little quicker than people gave him, you know, credit for. He's not like a crazy explosive vertical leaper. Mm-hmm. But I think he has the quick first step. He has some nice quick twitch stuff going on for him. So he has a nice blend of physical attributes and skills to me.
I think the Thunder have been looking for their sixth man ever since James Harden has left. You know, they tried to fill it with Kevin Martin, and then they thought that, you know, we can develop Jeremy Lamb to be that guy, and that hasn't happened, and now they have Deion Waiters. But I think Jerian Grant really could be that guy if he's there. At 14, I think that would be a slam dunk for the Thunder.
Definitely, yeah, he's an exciting guy. I think, you know, he would thrive in that six-man role.
Yeah, no doubt. Next guy, this guy is a lights-out shooter, Devin Booker, 6'6 guard from Kentucky. Seems like an elite shooter to me. Tell me what you know about Devin Booker.
Yeah, I'm actually working on a video on him right now. I first saw Devin Booker, I guess, last year at McDonald's All-American. I went to their practices and games, and I was just super impressed. Like, his jumper is so smooth. I know he kind of had some ups and downs this year, ended up shooting 41% from three, but, you know, he's one of the, if not the best shooters, you know, in this draft to me. Just like always on balance, really smooth release. He's just a smooth guy. He had a good year. You know, he played a role for them, which is a similar one to what he's going to play in the NBA, kind of spotting up, running off screens. He's a smart kid. He doesn't, you know, he knows his game. He's not going to force a ton. He has good size. You know, I think he doesn't have a ton of defensive potential or potential as, like, you know, a finisher around the rim, just because he's more smooth than he has explosive. He has kind of short arms. I think he's got, like, yeah, he's like 6'6 with a 6'6 wingspan. But again, he's a lights out shooter. He's a high IQ guy, and I think he's the youngest player in the draft. He's still 18 and isn't going to turn 19 until October, until Halloween. So
wow.
He's definitely, he's basically playing a year, you know, ahead. So he's definitely an impressive shooter, and he's going to be a nice role player in the NBA, just given his shooting stroke.
So my question's about Devin Booker. He has my friend Alex Spears mentioned to me that he has a pretty low steal and block percentage. Is that a concern for him at the next level?
Yeah, super low. I just saw he has the same amount of blocks this year as Tyler Ulis, who is like 5 foot nothing. So, so yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a huge concern. You know, I think he's never going to be a great defender, but I think that, you know, comparing him to a guy like Nick Stauskas, looking at them defensively, kind of different players offensively, because Stauskas is, you know, pretty good with the ball, but he's a better defender than Stauskas was last year at that level. He's got, you know, kind of a, he doesn't have the most refined body, but he's, you know, almost 210 pounds, 6'6", with decent footwork. So I don't think he'll be getting cooked every play, you know, but he's not going to be a guy who's really making plays in the passing lanes, but he's smart. And so I think he's going to be in the right position in terms of rotations and all that. He's just not going to be, you know, a highlight reel.
Okay. So he seems like a guy that the Thunder should try to target to me. I mean, you have Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, that are going to create everything, and now they have Enes Kanter in the middle and Serge Ibaka spacing the floor. Bringing in another guy like that along with Anthony Morrow that are just lights out just seems, I mean, I think if him or Grant are on the board, I think that really bodes well for OKC. Even, you know, they had a really crappy year as far as you know, record in basketball for themselves, but they could end up with a slam dunk as far as a draft prospect, one of those guys.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty safe pick. I don't see him busting, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to make shots. He's smart. He has good size. Like, you can really see him fitting a role. So I think that would be a good choice as well.
Next guy, a guy who I don't know very much about at all, Kelly Oubre out of Kansas. 6'7", he's a pretty big guy if he's going to play shooting guard. Tell me about his game and how he translates to the NBA.
Yeah, so Kelly to me is more of a three. He has amazing physical tools. I've seen him a lot live. You know, last year at the Nike Hoop Summit, I saw him for a week. McDonald's, all that stuff, and I believe he was at McDonald's. And yeah, the physical tools are really impressive. I think he has a 7'3" wingspan. He has a good frame that's going to fill out. He has a chance to be like a really elite defender. I mean, if his big thing is he's kind of got the Joe Cool attitude to him a little bit. I think he learned a lot at Kansas. You know, he wasn't playing early on in the year. And, you know, Bill Self is tough with stuff like that. I mean, if you're not in the right place on D, or you're not giving max effort, or whatever the issue is, you're not going to get any runs. So I think he had an up and down year. He's not the most refined guy. He was kind of a late riser in high school, and kind of burst on the scene. But he's like a 3-and-D elite type of 3-and-D plus type of guy in terms of, you know, he's long, he can be a great defender, he can make shots, but he also has some upside to where, you know, you wonder if he's ever going to be able to, you know, be a little bit more than that. But he doesn't have a ton of offensive game. He's not a great ball handler. He's an inconsistent shooter. He's not very good shooting off the dribble or getting to his jump shot, you know, with like step backs or things like that. And he doesn't have a great feel for the game, in terms of, you know, creating for other guys. So he's a little bit more of a project, but, the physical stuff is super impressive. He's a good, you know, very fluid athlete. I don't know how well he fits in terms of the Thunder trying to win now, just given the contract. You know, Kevin Durant's about to be up, and but he's a very interesting prospect who, kind of coming into the year, was seen as potentially even a top five guy. He just, you know, didn't have a great year at Kansas and maybe showed some flaws.
Do you think there's a chance he could slip all the way to 14? Because everything I've seen showing that he's going to go higher than that, but is there a chance he could slip?
I think there's a chance. I mean, there's always a chance that these guys fall, you know. I think he's kind of a guy that you either really like or you don't, you know. He's not – so it depends. Like, if I could see him easily falling, you know, to 10, and then if teams 10 through 13 are, you know, of the belief that they don't love Kelly Oubre, then I could really see him falling to 14. But I don't think he would fall past the lottery.
Yeah, he seems like a guy that Sam Presti would love, because Presti loves guys that are just gifted athletes that he thinks that he can mold into NBA players. I mean, he took Andre Roberson, and they've been trying to turn him into a two guard. He's been really good on defense, but he hasn't been able to shoot. So I wonder if that's still going to be his MO, with a new coach and a new offensive system. So it'll be interesting, but he seems like a Thundery wing to me.
Yeah. He's definitely interesting. He has some upside, no question.
Next guy, RJ Hunter. I keep trying to fill the two guard spot because the Thunder have just this conglomeration of just imperfect shooting guards. You know, they have Andre Roberson, Anthony Morrow, who was outstanding this year, but just is not a gifted defender at all. Deion Waiters, who we know has had his struggles, but still has potential there. And then Jeremy Lamb, who has been really good at looking sleepy. So I keep trying to fill this spot. And RJ Hunter is a guy that I look at your guys' site, and then I look at what Chad Ford does. And Chad Ford continues to match RJ Hunter with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Where do you see him fitting as a Thunder player?
I think he'd be good. I'm interested to see him, you know, play a role as opposed to what he did in college, just because he played for his dad. He had pretty much free reign to do whatever he wanted at Georgia State. And I think you can see that in some of his shooting numbers this year. You know, he fell to below 30%, and mostly just because of shot selection stuff and kind of having to be the man. But I think he's a good fit anywhere, honestly. I think there are some questions to me about, you know, his toughness. He's very thin. He's a fluid guy. He's not overly explosive. But he has a really good feel for the game, and he can shoot. So, you know, running off screens, he's really good on the move. He's not just like your stand in the corner type of guy. I mean, you can really get him going on some actions. And this year, he really impressed me as a passer. He really evolved there, just in terms of like running off of screens and seeing that big defender help and, you know, dropping it off to the big man. His assist weight rate really went up. So I think, that's big for him, just showing that, you know, he's not just a chucker type of black hole type of guy who just put up numbers because he, you know, got a lot of volume in college. I think he'd be a good fit. I think he's a, like I said, he makes shots. He's just an okay on-ball defender, but he has very, very good instincts off the ball. And I think you see that a lot with these shooter types who are so comfortable running off of screens. So you can see their feel kind of on both sides. So, yeah, I'm not sure he'll go that high.
Okay.
as Chad Ford has him. To me, he's kind of more of like a 20s type of guy.
Okay.
But you know, he's an NBA player. You know, I don't think there's a doubt about that.
What kind of athlete is he?
Yeah, he's very fluid in terms of he's smooth. Like he's a smooth guy. He can grab a rebound and go coast to coast. He has really good timing, attacking closeouts. But he's not a vertical athlete. Like he's not going to go up and dunk on you at all. That's not his game.
Okay. Of all these guys that we've mentioned, who's like the, because what the Thunder are looking for is like a, basically like a 3-and-D Wes Matthews or somebody like that to play the two guard position that's going to knock down threes, that can play pretty good defense at the two position, or kind of a 1-2 combo. Who's like the ideal fit out of these guys, or is there a guy I'm not even mentioning that you think would be better?
I don't really think there's someone that you're leaving out. I think that, you know, Devin Booker, if he was a better defender, I think he would be definitely the number one guy. But to me, I think Jerian Grant is probably the best in that regard. I mean, he's not a great defender, but he's going to be like solid at the NBA level. He's not going to be a minus at all. But he's not as great of a three. He's not a 3-and-D shooter type. So he's more combo playmaker type of guy who can play on and off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
To whereas Devin Booker would give you the you know, the shooting. But I think really 3-and-D, if you're talking that, I mean, you're talking Kelly Oubre.
Mm-hmm.
It's just with him, it's going to take a little bit of time, I think. Like it's not like he can't go play in an NBA court, you know. I mean, he's 6'7 with a 7'3 wingspan who can make a three and guard multiple positions. It's just a matter of the game moving a little quickly for him, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not so much from a physical standpoint, just his overall awareness and feel and constantly playing hard is a bit of an adventure for him at times. He got better throughout the year, but so I think if you're talking like 3-and-D Kelly Oubre, if you're talking, you know, ready to go, polished guy who's going to help you right away, it's Jerian Grant.
Okay.
And then Devin Booker somewhere in between it.
Okay. I was going to say, do you think that Booker would even break the rotation, you know, beating out guys like, I mean, obviously you have to beat out Jeremy Lamb first and then Dion Waiters, but do you think that he would be able to get minutes over those guys?
I don't think so yet. I don't. Just because he's so young, you know.
Okay.
But I think he's surprising people even at Kentucky too, though. He ended up being a pretty important part of what they were doing. So you never know. I mean, he's a confident kid with a really nice stroke. So, but he doesn't strike me as like a immediate come on in and take over type of guy. Whereas Jerian Grant is like, he's ready to play in the NBA.
Hmm. Let's venture into a dream world in which the Thunder lottery ball has been pulled and it's the number one pick, and they're able to select Towns at this number one pick. Tell me about Towns and what kind of player does he project to be?
Yeah, you know, Towns is definitely an intriguing prospect. I think what people like about him, what I like about him as well, is his ability to, you know, be a force on both ends, whereas Okafor, you more so just get the offensive side of things, at least from what we saw this year. Towns he has a lot more game, I think, or upside than he was able to show at Kentucky. He, to me, projects almost more as a, you know, a stretch big than the low post type of scorer he was for Kentucky.
Hmm.
I saw him, you know, at Nike Hoop Summit last year, and he was one of the best shooters there, knocking down threes. They just played him on the interior this year. But to me, like, especially in the modern NBA and the way things are kind of moving now, you know, I see more of like a you know, LaMarcus Aldridge than like a, you know, bruiser inside. So I like him. I think he's really mobile. He has good physical tools. He's not one of the knocks is, you know, he's not the toughest guy, and he's not really an elite leaper, which makes you wonder, you know, is really going to be as great of a rim protector and finisher at the NBA level. So you know, he's going to be a really good NBA player. There's no doubt about that. He's just, I wouldn't say he's overly polished, but maybe not so much as Okafor, but he gives you potential on both ends of the floor. He can play both the four and the five. So yeah, he's the best prospect in the draft, in my opinion.
Okay. I'd like to discuss two more guys. Like, if the Thunder somehow did like win the lottery, get in the top three, I think a couple guys I probably consider D'Angelo Russell and then Mario Hezonja. Tell me about Russell and his potential, and then if you can, Mario Hezonja.
Yeah, Russell is, he might be the best basketball player in terms of just like basketball player, not prospect, but like in terms of actual game in the draft. Great passer, great feel for the game, sweet shooting stroke, you know, 6'5", can get his shot, you know, off the dribble with a lot of different dribble moves that he uses. The question with him is, you know, will his average athleticism hurt him at the NBA level? Is he going to be able to finish at the rim? Is he going to be able to get by guys consistently? And not in the fact that will he be successful in the NBA, but in the fact that is he going to be a really good player, or is he going to be an all-star caliber player? So I think, you know, that's what teams are trying to figure out is, you know, will he be able to do those things and be an elite level player while not being an elite athlete? But I mean, when you're 6'5", you can pass and you can shoot, I'd say that's a pretty good start.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. He sounds like you would be a nice fit as a shooting guard for anybody. Tell me about Hezonja. I've heard he's super fiery and just a competitor. And I really like this guy, and wish that people didn't know that much about him so he could fall to 14, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I love Hezonja. I'm sure you may have seen, I kind of went on a Twitter rant the other day, but he I don't know. I mean, he's really like an NBA style of prospect, you know, who's playing in Europe. A lot of these European guys or international guys get unfair stigmas placed on them, you know, for maybe being soft or unathletic or whatever, but he's the total opposite. He's like very, very athletic, plays above the rim, has this swagger and competitive fire to him. You know, people say he's maybe not a great teammate, and I'm sure that's totally true. I mean, there are times when he, you know, is very selfish. There are times when he just is not interested on defense, but a lot of that is because of the situation over there. You know, he wasn't getting a ton of playing time. His playing time really fluctuated, and he just wasn't really in the best situation for him. So I think he's got an NBA game. He's going to come in and make threes. He's going to attack the rim. He's going to guard people. He's a stud. I think he's there's a chance he's a top five pick in the draft, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Even if like the Thunder had the third pick, I think that I would be hoping that they would take him. I like Russell a lot, but just what I've read and seen about Hezonja, he seems like he and Russell Westbrook in the same backcourt would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I'm sure the egos there would someone would definitely have to manage that, whether it's Billy Donovan or whoever. But right. But that's okay. At least you have the talent.
Yep, Mike, we really appreciate your time today. We can follow you on Twitter at @Mike_Schmitz and read all your stuff at Draft Express. And we really look forward to the draft and seeing more stuff from you guys. If you're an NBA fan and you're not watching the Draft Express videos leading up to the draft, I don't know what you're doing, because this is the best way to gain knowledge about these guys in the NBA draft, and also a way to get the Draft Express music just stuck in your head for like 3 months. But Mike, thanks again for coming on, and we'll be in touch.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Andrew. Best of luck to you guys.
Welcome back. back to the Down Dunk Podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht, and today we have Adam Silverstein. He works for CBS, and he writes for OnlyGators.com. He's here to talk about a potential head coaching candidate who seems, it seems almost inevitable that he'll become the coach of the Thunder, Billy Donovan. Adam, how you doing?
Doing great. Yeah, I don't know if he's a potential that much longer. By the time this gets published, he might be the one.
No kidding. So I don't know that much about Donovan except for the guys that he's produced coming into the NBA. I'm honestly not a huge college basketball guy. So can you kind of describe to me what kind of leader Billy Donovan is?
Sure. Well, from a leadership standpoint, he definitely has a strong hand. He presses his guys really hard in practice, works them to the bone. Ensures that they understand he's only there to get the most out of them. And he certainly looks for players to step up in leadership roles to share his message and kind of be his advocate where his message kind of gets disseminated to the team even when he's not there. I think it's a strong leadership approach that Donovan possesses. Certainly his players all love him. He's not so strict on them where he turns guys off, although certainly there are a couple here and there that have transferred from the program for those reasons. But the NBA, it's going to be interesting to see how much of a fit that is. Certainly guys, perhaps like Kevin or Serge Ibaka, where that may fly. They may be able to accept that type of leadership, whereas others potentially, like Russell Westbrook, for example, that could potentially turn them off.
That's really interesting because the Thunder have never had a guy like this before that – I mean, Scott Brooks is a good coach and he's a good leader, but I wouldn't ever describe him as a strong leader. So having a candidate like that is really interesting.
Yeah, Donovan is definitely that. That's not to say he's a huge authoritarian. I mean, he definitely is very personable with his players. They have great relationships. In college, it's a little bit different than the NBA. The guys are at his house all the time. There's an extraordinary amount of love, not just between guys that have graduated, but guys that are on the team currently and Billy Donovan. So it's not to say that he, brushes people the wrong way. It's just he tries to get the most out of you by being hard on you and being a father figure. He's not really there to be your friend until you graduate.
Interesting. I've heard that he is a big proponent of analytics, which is a lot of Presti's MO is analytics. And Scott Brooks was very hesitant to get on board with that. Can you tell me anything about his willingness to include analytics in his coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that he's really embraced more of coming out of the back-to-back NCAA titles in 2006 and 2007. The Gators had 2 years in which they went to the NIT. Recruiting, kind of changed for Florida when the high level of success started hitting a little bit of failure. And Donovan really started to embrace analytics at the behest of some of his assistants and front office people, not front office, I guess, in college, but some of the video coordinators and some of the other guys on his staff, some of the younger guys.
Gotcha.
He really started to embrace it, and now it's very much a part of his game day preparation, talent evaluation, et cetera. So I think with Sam Presti, that would actually be a great fit. With Billy Donovan today versus 10 years ago, where I wouldn't say he was resistant to it, but it certainly wasn't part of his coaching.
Yeah, and I think you just look at the NBA today, and I don't really know how you can drag your feet on it anymore. And that may have been one of the spots of contention with Scott Brooks, is that he was a little more skeptical. And if Presti can get a guy in here that they can be in a meeting and say, look at these five-man lineups, like we've got, these are the guys that we need to play together. I think it's going to be a great fit as far as that goes.
Yeah. What Donovan's really succeeded at is not just using analytics and along with his basketball knowledge to himself prepare for upcoming opponents, but he really puts the onus on his assistants to take upcoming opponents and break them down on their own and kind of introduce the game plans to the team that he then obviously goes over meticulously and helps refine. So it's not just that he embraces it, he ensures that his entire staff does, and it's something that has really led to Florida succeeding in the last few years, where their talent certainly wasn't at the same level as it was during those back-to-back title seasons.
That's I keep saying this, but I really don't know that much about Billy Donovan, and I don't really know anything about what he's done. So this is all like I'm learning as I'm listening to you right now. Tell me about his offensive system, because I've heard that he runs an NBA friendly offensive system, something that will translate easily. Tell me what he has implemented at Florida.
That's definitely going to be the easiest transition. You're 100% correct on that. He spaces the floor like Florida's an NBA team, and he's done that for years. He certainly believes in using post players, shooting the three, and basically just getting the most out of everyone that's on the court by, you know, like I said, spacing the floor and moving the ball around. He's kind of the perfect fit for someone like Kevin Durant or even a LeBron James, who doesn't really care about scoring as much as making sure that the ball eventually ends up in the basket for their particular team on any given possession. And it's really just about ensuring that everyone on the team offensively does what is necessary during a possession to make every other player on the floor with them successful. It's kind of a triangle mentality without actually using the triangle, if that makes sense.
Okay. So Scott Brooks loves to take guys like Andre Roberson and just park them in the corner. Will we see stuff like that, or is there going to be more motion to it from guys like him?
It really depends on the personnel. I haven't looked at the Thunder outside of obviously the big stars too in depth, but certainly when Florida had a spot-up three-point shooter like Lee Humphrey during those tournament runs, mm-hmm. he would just post up in the corner, go inside out into the post, you know, see if Joe Cano or Al Horford could do anything. If not, he'd kick it out, pass it around the perimeter, and it would wind up Humphrey, who I believe set an NCAA tournament record for three-point efficiency. So that's not even a question. He certainly, it's not often that Donovan's had, you know, a star player like a Kevin Durant or a Russell Westbrook who can really take over and dominate a game from that 2-3 position. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does when he finally has a guy like that. But there are some examples, you know, with Corey Brewer, he was certainly much more dominant in college than he has been in the NBA, where those guys can have some free reign and still kind of work within the system. Like I said, playing inside out, getting the ball in the post, kicking it back out, passing it around the perimeter, and possibly having someone like a Durant or a Brewer at Florida, you know, driving to the paint.
Gotcha. And I guess I was referring to Roberson. Roberson is a very poor shooter. Like he can't mm-hmm. shoot. And Scott Brooks continued to just leave him in the corner. And he was a guy that could just be ignored. It sounds like he'll be able to use a guy like Anthony Morrow, who shoots. I mean, he could shoot up to 50% from three if he's, you know, given the right shots. It sounds like he would be a guy that could use a guy like Anthony Morrow in the right way. And hopefully would learn to use Roberson in a different way rather than trying to, you know, park this 20% three-point shooter in the corner.
Yeah, if a guy, you know, what I can tell you is based on his personnel at Florida, if a guy can't do something, Donovan's not putting him in a position where he's being forced to do it. Hmm. And if there's going to be a guy that's going to sit in the corner and be open and can't catch the ball and put up a three, then that guy is either not going to play many minutes or he's not going to be on the team for very long.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, tell me about his defensive system. What are some of his defensive principles? How have the defenses been at Florida? Tell me something about that.
Yeah, what's impressive about Donovan, when he came to the Gators, he was certainly an offensive-minded coach. You know, Billy Ball was all about shooting threes, running up the score, and just trying to outscore opponents. But what he's really been able to do over the course of his 21-year career, 19 years at Florida, is really understand defense and make it almost the main tenet of Gators basketball over the last few seasons, especially as Florida struggled with offensive talent. It's just changed drastically. Probably his mentor defensively is Larry Shiat, who's over at Wyoming right now. And Coach Shiat certainly is, some would call him a defensive mastermind when it comes to basketball. That's how he got Wyoming, as many wins as he did this past season. And that's certainly some tough sledding for that particular team. But long story short, on defense, Donovan likes to press. He puts pressure on the ball when you're in the half court, and he just does whatever he can to confuse teams, create steals, or steal opportunities, I should say, and get guys to mess up. And he does it on the inbounds. He does it, you know, after made baskets, just whenever he sees an opportunity, he's willing to leave guys back there to put pressure on the ball and just try to create more opportunities for his offense.
It sounds like he is going, if he does indeed become the coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, sounds like this team is going to be really fun with the way they play defense and the way that they're going to jack threes and just create tons of possession. Sounds like it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, that's really the goal. His goal, and again, this kind of goes back to analytics, especially now, is, you know, more possessions, more chances to score, better chance to win the game, especially if you can stop guys on the defensive end of the court. And that's definitely how he's been brought up. That's how he's evolved as a coach, and it's how Fulda has really succeeded again in winning over the last couple of seasons without as much talent as it had in the past. Florida's Final Four run, I don't know if any, 2 years ago, I don't know if any other coach in the nation could have gotten that same group of players all the way to the Final Four, and that came after three straight years of falling flat in the Elite Eight and just not seeming like the Gators had the pieces to get there. It's really interesting. Billy Donovan's a fantastic coach. It's really going to be, for him, adjusting to the NBA game, dealing with NBA personalities, you know, guys that are making millions of dollars, and he does not get to control every little thing they do, you know, learning discipline and kind of dealing with having so many games in such a short period of time, just the schedule and the grind of being a coach in the NBA.
One of the huge critiques of Scott Brooks is that he is one of the most uncreative coaches that I've ever seen. His out-of-bounds play at the end of every single game is get it to Durant at the top of the three-point line, top of the key, and just let him launch. You could just call it. There are multiple people on Twitter, if you follow, like, people that write about the Thunder, there's just multiple people tweeting during the timeout, can't wait for Durant to launch this this three from 40 feet. But what is Donovan's, you know, out of timeout plays, how is he with calling plays like that? You've talked a little bit about his offensive game, but is he creative? Is he a guy that can draw up an out-of-bounds play that will maybe fool the defense even a little bit?
So there's good news and bad news here. Out of timeouts during the game, even late in the game, Donovan's very creative. He has some, you know, he works on plays ahead of the game, just like every coach, and they implement them in the right times, get guys open looks, try to get guys to the basket, et cetera. Great stuff. The issue, and where he seems to have, you know, a commonality here with Scott Brooks, is the end-of-game scenarios. And Donovan has the stigma over his entire career of not being very creative in those end-of-game situations. I point to historically Florida's rosters. A large part of that has to do with talent the Gators have had. Florida does not really have a guy where you can give him the ball, get him to drive, you know, open up other players, and then kind of get something going. Ford has had these guys that basically can just shoot threes, and without a solid post presence, it's very difficult to get things going. That being said, his guys are really known for launching threes, taking off-balance shots and not really getting great looks in end-of-game situations. Most of those occur, you know, in tie games where they're trying to take the lead, but even when Florida's down a point or two, there's certainly been plenty of occasions where fans are sending me the exact same tweets, hey, I bet you I know what's going to happen. Irving Walker is going to take the ball out of bounds, drain 18 seconds off the clock, and launch a three at the buzzer. I mean, that happens often at Florida, and I would say that's his biggest negative, his biggest concern, just as a coach. It's something that he really needs to improve on.
I guess lucky for Donovan and lucky for Thunder fans, Kevin Durant should be back for next season. And that's he's a guy that you would actually want to do that. So if he continues to do that, having Kevin Durant shoot is always a good thing.
Sure. I mean, the percent chance of a Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook, whether it's a shot or a drive going in, are much higher than what he's had at the Gators over the last few years. So I certainly think with those guys, not just the percent chance of the ball going in the basket, but those guys allow him to be a lot more creative, and I do think some talent limitations kind of fed into that at Florida. But it will be interesting to see if he gets the job and when he's faced with those situations, you know, what really comes to head at that point. Is it him? Was it the talent? How is that going to kind of transpire in those situations?
You had mentioned a couple assistant coaches that might be possible. Are there? Does he have links to guys that are like current NBA assistant coaches or past NBA assistants or NBA head coaches or anything like that? Because a lot of people, and this comparison is going to be made for a long time, because I think we have like 6 months until the NBA season starts again. So everybody's going to compare the Thunder to the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr, who brought on two of the best assistant coaches in the league really right now. And a lot of people are going to be looking a lot at what kind of guys that Donovan will bring in for Thunder. So what are some other links that he may have to bring assistant coaches in?
Off the top, I really can't tell you that I've looked too much into what he might do as far as NBA assistants go, because at least as far as I'm concerned, it's really the college end. What I can tell you is Donovan is well-liked throughout the industry. His reach goes far and wide, both in college and the NBA. Certainly he has Rick Pitino and his connections as well. So I don't think Billy Donovan is going to be wanting for NBA assistance. I would expect he's a smart enough guy, but he'll probably bring some guys he's comfortable with. Again, Anthony Grant would be probably the most likely guy he brings along from the college ranks. But I would also assume that his lead assistant, or at least some other guys on the staff, would have plenty of NBA experience to kind of get him used to the culture and the personalities and really what he needs to do day in and day out as an NBA coach. He's not going to go into it blindly. You know, in the 2006 season, the year that Florida eventually won its first NCAA championship under Donovan, he was asked by a couple writers, you know, if he was ever interested in the NBA and kind of how that would work. And what he actually said is, in his ideal scenario, he would spend one full season in the NBA as an assistant before taking a head coaching job. He thought that would kind of prime him and get him ready for the opportunity. Obviously, that's not going to happen. You're not going to go from college head coach who gets offered tons of NBA jobs to NBA assistant first, unless you're going to be some guy's protege in his final season. But in this particular scenario, I think that speaks to Donovan's understanding that it is a different game, it is a different animal, and he's going to really need to bring some guys with him, or bring some guys into the team, or maybe keep a few guys on the staff that are well-liked by the players that have that NBA experience and can kind of help them get adjusted and really get into the NBA game.
Well, that's good to know that it's a big adjustment, and everybody's just super scared of a college coach coming in here, mostly because college coaches haven't had a ton of success as NBA coaches. They also haven't had the chance to coach a team like this. They've usually been put in rebuilding situations where their team's going to stink no matter who's coaching the team. So I think Donovan's definitely entering a unique circumstance. So he was hired as the Magic coach several years ago and had the press conference and then backed out. What have you seen that makes you think that he's more ready today than he was then?
That's a great question. You know, I don't know if there's anything I've seen in particular. I think Donovan's had these opportunities over the last few years. Cleveland and Minnesota both reached out to him last offseason to try to get him to leave Florida. I think here's the difference between now and then. His kids are older. Most of them have graduated, from schools in Gainesville. He's really kind of reached the pinnacle at Florida. He's gone to four Final Fours with three kind of different groups of players. He's really accomplished everything he could want to accomplish in college. He's most likely going to have his name on Florida's court when the arena gets renovated next season. He's really made himself a legacy, and I think he has this itch to go coach in the NBA and realizes that at some point he's going to need to scratch it, and I think he believes that this opportunity is really the best case scenario for him to get into the NBA, go with a general manager he has a decade-long relationship with and feels really comfortable. He gets to coach three-star players, but certainly two main ones in Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, and just sees this as an opportunity that he can't pass up. I don't think Billy Donovan would take NBA coaching conversations this deep and this far into the process again unless he was 100% sure that if he takes the job, he's going to stay there and not, you know, do an about-face and go back to Florida. I wouldn't expect that to happen. If he accepts the job and they hold the press conference and all that happens, he's as good as gone. There doesn't need to be any worry there. I do think there's a possibility maybe it's a 25% chance, maybe it's less right now, that these talks are going on and Donovan's going to take the next 48 hours and think about it and ultimately say, you know what, I just want to stay in college and be a college coach and I want to remain with the Gators for the rest of my career. Mm-hmm. I think this is the one opportunity he has to really say, what, you know, direction is my career going to go in and what am I going to do? You know, where do I want to coach for the next 5, 10, 15 years? And I think if he decides that's the NBA and he wants to give it a legitimate shot, then he's going to take the job. And, of course, if for some reason he fails in Oklahoma City, he could come right back to college. He'd be the hottest name in college, just like Urban Meyer was, and get the top job that's available.
I think some people will probably worry about Russell Westbrook and fitting with a new coach. I honestly don't have that many concerns because I think that obviously Donovan will do everything in his power to make sure that he has a guy like Russell Westbrook on board. And Russ has never been a guy who seems to, you know, he's not going to battle with the coaching staff, I don't think. But a guy that is on the roster that seems to be, he's more of a fringe guy, and he played a lot toward the end of the season, Dion Waiters. He's kind of a divisive personality. He has a divisive NBA game that people, frankly, a lot of Thunder fans just don't like him, and they don't think that he should even be on the team. How will Donovan handle a guy like Dion who perpetually takes terrible step-back twos and can't finish at the rim, but has a ton of NBA potential? Like, this guy could be a really good NBA player if he can be given the right tools. Is Donovan going to be a guy that's going to try to coach him up, or is he going to say, get this guy out of here?
Well, I mean, pardon the pun, but I think he'll give it the old college try. You know, I think okay. He will say, hey, Dion, you know, we're starting fresh. I don't know you. You don't know me. These are my expectations. This is what I believe that you're capable of after watching you on film. And if you listen to me, then you'll be able to reach those points. If you do X, Y, and Z, like you have been, then you're not going to be here much longer. And he will take it fresh, go from there, and see what happens. But certainly, if he's divisive in the locker room, if he's not listening to him, if he is simply a nuisance, whether on or off the court, Donovan, I'm sure, will meet with Presti and say, hey, this is the guy we got to get rid of, and let's do the best we can to get some value for him. I don't think he has any concerns with moving on from guys, whether stars or otherwise, that are going to be issues or distractions. He's proven that at Florida. Plenty of guys that have had plenty of talent have transferred off the program because they simply weren't working with the team dynamic and weren't progressing towards helping the Gators win basketball games. And if Dion or any other player is going to be an impediment in that regard, then one way or another, he won't be at, you know, team much longer.
That's interesting. Donovan loves shooters. And there's a shooter on the Thunder bench, Jeremy Lamb, and he hasn't really gotten much of a shot. He's been with Thunder for 3 seasons, and he's had nice stretches, and then he's had stretches where he doesn't see the floor at all. How do you see him coaching a guy like Jeremy Lamb, who has tons of talent? He's got a great NBA body. He's athletic. But he doesn't seem to be completely interested in much.
Well, I think with Jeremy Lamb in particular, and I might be wrong here, but I believe Donovan recruited him to Florida, you know, back when he was, you know, coming out of high school. I think he went to UConn. But mm-hmm. I think there's some relationship there with him in particular. But in general, Donovan's goal is to win basketball games, and he will use whatever players are on his roster to get that done, and he'll use them in any way possible. He's famous for sitting starters and putting walk-ons in the game. Florida had a walk-on in Jake Kurtz the last 2 seasons, who played, I want to say he kind of played at more or as many minutes as Chris Walker, a 5-star center who, you know, declared for the NBA draft. There is no hesitation from Billy Donovan to play guys that are going to win him games, regardless of their stature or prominence, or I guess in NBA terms, their contracts or draft picks. You know, if you're a first-round pick and you're not cutting it, you're not playing. If you are an undrafted free agent and you sign and you're, you know, doing things the right way, the way Donovan wants them done, then he's going to play you and give you every opportunity to take that job. he's not beholden to, you know, dollar amounts, which isn't obviously the case in college, or draft picks or star rankings, I guess would be the college equivalent. He cares more about which are the guys on the roster that are doing things the right way, give me the best chance to win, and I can mold into better players.
That's a great answer. He's going to have a ton to work with if he accepts this job. Every single guy on this roster can play in the NBA in some capacity. I'm very interested to see what a new coach can do. Last question. How do you think he's going to translate to the NBA? Do you think it's going to be a struggle for him at the start, or do you think that he was made for the NBA?
It's a good question. You know, it's tough to say he's made for the NBA just because he's so proficient in college. And I think a lot of people would have said the same about Brad Stevens. And, you know, everyone's using Brad Stevens as an example these days just because Boston's found some success. But, you know, he is the most recent college to NBA guy that's made a transition where, you know, the Celtics hiring Brad Stevens in the first place was kind of a shocker, kind of came out of nowhere. And people said, oh, yeah, he has the temperament for the NBA, but we don't really know if someone, you know, so young can translate his game. Donovan, I think, has the basketball intelligence, the experience, you know, certainly the accolades and the ability to be a great NBA coach. But that transition is just very difficult. It's the same for football, going from college football to the NFL and vice versa. Just because you're successful in one does not mean you're going to be successful in the other. There may be certain, you know, parts of each game in particular that you excel at, perhaps in college, it's recruiting and, you know, the leadership that we were talking about, having a heavy hand on these guys and really riding them hard. Maybe that doesn't work in the NBA. Perhaps for an NBA coach, there's a managed personality type of, you know, characteristic that they have as a coach that when brought to the college level doesn't really apply the same way. So I think it's very tough, and that kind of goes with Avery Johnson taking the Alabama job. So, you know, I don't know if that's going to work. So it really just remains to be seen. But if I had to bet, I would bet money that Billy Donovan will succeed in the NBA, especially the situation that he's getting at Oklahoma. I'm not sure it's the greatest situation just because of Kevin Durant. He has questionable future. I know the foot injury is supposedly going to heal, but if he's there for one season and maybe, you know, Westbrook's not happy that he's leaving. I'm not sure about Oklahoma City as a free agent destination. You guys would know about that better than me. But I think I would be confident in Billy Donovan as a coach, as a leader, as a guy to kind of move the program forward and share a like mind with the general manager and Sam Presti. I think he would be a great hire for any NBA team. Oklahoma City is certainly one of those, and the fan base will eventually love him if they don't already, because it's a college fan base for an NBA team, mm-hmm. and Donovan's a college coach that can really get fans riled up. It would really be a nice fit.
Awesome. Well, Adam, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. We can follow you on Twitter at Silverstein Adam, and we can also follow you at Only Gators and read all your stuff at Only Gators to get some more insight into Billy Donovan. We thank you for your time, and we may touch base again if he's hired and maybe throughout the season just to see your perspective on it.
Absolutely. Whenever you guys need me, I certainly appreciate having me on, and the next 48 hours should be quite interesting, so hold on tight.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTDpodcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review, and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.